The president was greeted by veteran Soviet ambassador
to offer condolences on the death of Leonid Brezhnev.
The operation is what's crucial, because what we do is for the good of the many. Don't let your conscience get us killed.
If you tell her now, it will all blow up.
But at least she'll know who she is. Every move you
make. This is the West Coast Project podcast for the Americans. My name is Mike, and I'm here with Jamie. Hi, Jamie.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Jamie. I was going to tell people who listen to this that we don't charge for any of this, and we don't have any advertising or anything. But one way that people could pay us is if they click on iTunes and just give us a rating.
Oh, that's a really good idea.
That would help us move up the iTunes charts. More people would know about it, and more people would be able to see the podcast. Also, if you like this podcast, just tell somebody. Tell your friends or family or whoever who might also like it. If they like the Americans, they'll probably like listening to this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that's a really good way to show your love on a special day for people who love each other.
Oh, isn't that cute? And it's Valentine's Day.
That's right.
So, Jamie, what did you think of 303 Open House?
Oh, well, speaking of, love, that's, the opposite of love. I did not love that episode.
Why not?
I don't know. There was just a really, it was a really weird feeling episode. It was uncomfortable to watch. I don't know. I think, Elizabeth and Philip with the whole scene in the basement with the pliers or whatever that tool was. And Elizabeth with the South African guy or wherever he's from. And I don't know. It was just a tough one.
That was their sex scene.
Pliers,
the tooth pulling.
Yeah, I read that.
That's what, what's her name, Carrie Russell said.
Yeah, well, you know what? You and I kind of texted back and forth about that this week. And I have to tell you, even before we texted about it, I thought that when I was watching it.
Yeah, it was pretty intimate.
Yeah.
For her to trust him to do that. And then he's right on top of her doing it. And he has to do it twice to get it all done. Pretty intimate.
Yeah, I thought that was really just so morbid. He didn't get the right tooth the first time.
No, he got part of it. He didn't pull the wrong tooth.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
It wasn't the wrong tooth.
Because that's what I thought. I thought it was the wrong tooth. And I was just like, how could you have a mulligan? That's the worst mulligan in the history of mulligans.
No, I think it was cracked, and that was the pain, and he pulled part of it out and then got the rest of it.
Okay, good. All right, well, that makes me feel so much better.
I think. I mean, he's got more skill than that, right? To pull the wrong damn tooth.
I would hope so.
Plus, it looked like just a little piece, the first piece.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
It'd be funny if next episode we see her with, one of her front teeth missing.
That would be horrible. Poor thing. She suffered enough.
I'm not pulling for the Russians or the Americans. I'm pulling for Philip and Elizabeth, I decided.
You know what? That's a great thought. I think we're going to go with that for this episode especially.
It's been a while since I've seen this episode because we normally do this during the week, and it's already the weekend now. So it's a little bit – I haven't watched it. And I watched it 2 days ago, I think.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I watched it, I think, on Thursday, and then I watched it again yesterday, and I tried to watch it again just a little while ago, and I just cannot seem to wind my way through that thing. Now, I paid special attention, and I got all the details and everything, but man, that episode was hard to watch. I don't know.
So what did you think of the word flocks? That was the first scene with Gabriel and Philip playing Scrabble, old school Scrabble.
Yeah, well, okay, so I will say that I think it's a great idea that they play Scrabble as opposed to chess or something. Chess is just it's too common a sort of a metaphor, so I really like that they were doing Scrabble. And the word, I thought the word was interesting. Matter of fact, I'm starting to get that sort of that feeling that you get about Gabriel, and I thought, he's making words about the underworld. I mean, really? And then his name is Gabriel, which is the name of the archangel, isn't it? And so it's just starting to sound like a real literary thing. I think he is going to turn out to be either an angel or the devil. He's going to be one of those two things.
Yeah, one of the other words was Stichian or something related to the river Styx.
Oh, that's the one. Stichian or something like that. And that was the one. So what was the other one? The first one that you mentioned?
Phlox. I can't remember what it is. Phlox, P-H-L-O-X.
Yeah. I think that means change, if I'm not mistaken. Not like flux, but sort of related to that. But I don't remember.
Well, they're having this little Scrabble game, and they're talking about their business, and the business, I guess, is identifying the CIA group that the... that they were able to figure out from the photos that Philip took in the last episode. And so the big shots in this group are this guy, Isaac Breland, who's a master's of theology instructor at Notre Dame, and Ted Paswell. And we'll learn more about Paswell, I guess, a little bit more, and Breland, too. But while they were talking, Gabriel says Elizabeth looks at you differently now. How do you think he knows that? And what do you think he means by it?
I don't know, but, you know, this is the second time that he's said something about that. He said something to Elizabeth about it last week. He said something to Philip about it this week. And I know that these writers would not just absently sort of put that into the dialogue. It means something. And I don't know what it means. And it just seems to me like, you know, like the impression I get is that, you know, he's somebody who's familiar enough with these two people to not only notice what's going on between them, between it, like in the middle of their relationship, which is really, I don't know, it's personal, you know, but he doesn't have any problem, you know, like with that kind of familiarity. That's number one. Number two is that he has no compunction about questioning them about their relationship, which is, you know, if he's a biggie, if he's a big bad at the center and he's asking them about, you know, their relationship from that perspective, then yeah, I guess, okay, it's understandable. But in another way, it just seems so oddly personal for this person we don't know to just, you know, feel free to just say, you know, oh, you know, she looks at you differently. Oh, you guys are different together. You know, like he said to Elizabeth, it's just weird.
But that was my exact same impression. It's, who the F are you, pal? You come in here from wherever you are, and here you are, a big shot boss of us, and you're going to start talking about a relationship? You know, who the hell are you?
Yeah, well.
Even if he's right. So I guess we got to figure out what he means. He either means, one, that they're closer than before, or two, they're farther apart than before. I think those are the only two things he can mean by Elizabeth looks at you differently.
Either that or you know, that he's noticing that their relationship is now real. Because it could be that he knows them from a time that everything was sort of rote and for the surface, for the effect, and that kind of thing. And maybe, you know, it's the fact that they now really are a couple, you know, for real, that things seem different to him. I don't know. But for him to bring it up twice, there's something else there.
Yeah, why does he have to express it to Philip?
Yeah.
I mean, so what? If he could notice it, that's fine. But why does he have to verbalize it, vocalize it?
Yeah.
All right. So we see Elizabeth and her boy toy, Hans. I guess Hans is this South African guy's name, if I remember correctly. Walking around on campus. And we could tell it's Halloween. I don't know if you noticed the pumpkins. But so it's somewhere probably October-ish. Okay. And I think they make Hans look pretty young and attractive for a reason. And he's attracted to her. He's telling her she looks great, and she shuts him down right away. So what right. do you think the little hint of this budding interest in Hans and Elizabeth is going to lead to?
If I had to guess, I would say that she's going to have an affair with him. I think that Philip is doing a really stellar job of giving her the cold shoulder and pushing her away. I think when we get to the scene where we talk about her telling him about Hans coming on to her, I have a few things I'd like to say about that. I thought it was really creepy.
Creepy that scene, or creepy Hans coming on to Elizabeth?
No, creepy that scene. Creepy how Philip is behaving. I don't know if Philip really... I don't know if that's the road he should be going down.
Do you think Philip can come and go with Martha and Annalise, and he doesn't even seem to faze him? Do you think Elizabeth has a harder time doing that with men, other men? Like it's more impactful to her?
I don't know. I think from a purely physiological standpoint, from biology wise, you know, women release certain hormones, you know, when they are in the midst of that sort of activity. And so I think that, you know, it's entirely possible that, you know, it's a little bit more difficult for her. She didn't seem to be too bothered by that threesome she did last season with who was it? The family that the couple, their friends who died. I can't think of their names.
Yeah, Jared's parents.
Yeah, Jared's parents. Okay, so when she was in that threesome with Jared's mom, it didn't seem to bother her at all. But then again, you know, she fell in love with the guy who did suicide by cop, the black guy, the black communist guy from the first season. And so, you know, I don't know. I think it's a bad idea for Philip to be so cavalier, but there he is doing the same thing that he was doing last week, pushing her away. And, you know, he's angry with her. His world is kind of crashing in, I think. But he's being really cold.
Well, next they do have that talk in the bedroom, and they start out kind of friendly. They're talking about getting Paige her birthday present. It's either a 10-speed or a necklace.
Right.
Which would you have rather had, Jamie? She's what, going to be 15?
I think she's going to be 15, yeah. When I was 15, I think I would have rather to have had a 10-speed. But a necklace I wouldn't have minded. So, yeah, 10 in one hand, 6 in one hand, half dozen in the other.
Well, they make this point about Hans. She's telling him Hans was checking her out, and then she does the towel drop right in front of him. It doesn't even seem to have any effect on him. Do you think she was emphasizing her, Hans had made a flirtatious move on me, and the towel drop, do you think they were supposed to be connected?
Absolutely. I think she knows that he's giving her the cold shoulder. He's been really not very responsive to her, you know, for quite some time. It's been days now. And she's probably trying to have an effect on him. And that really should have had an effect on him, and it didn't. And so, I don't know.
Do you think she's trying to entice him, Philip, back into more romance with their relationship?
Oh, certainly. Certainly.
Because that's unlike her. That's usually not like her.
Well, I think she, you know, she loves him. And, you know, she's cold and, you know, she's icy and she's, you know, mechanical at times. But I think what we know, you know, what we learned last season is that she really does love him. And even though she's got, you know, her ideals and she's, you know, very much Elizabeth and, you know, always 100% Elizabeth, you know, she loves Philip. And I don't think she wants for things to be going the way that they are. But I also think that, you know, she wants to have her cake and eat it too, because I don't think that she's going to come over to his way of seeing things.
Well, Philip's acting like a little bitch here.
He says,
you talked to Gabriel about Paige without me. And he does that little half spin in the bed and hugs the covers up over him and kind of pouts.
Yeah.
Like they're going to have the cold sleep that night. But he's acting like a little baby, kind of. He doesn't really try even to talk it out with her. He just says that statement. It's real passive aggressive. He says it and then shuts it down.
Yeah.
Opens the door to it and shuts it down right away.
Yeah, so it kind of makes it seem kind of opposite almost. And I hate to say that because I'm a girl, and you know, but I think that's normally the role that the woman would take, and the normal role that the guy would take would be kind of try to get things going, get the romance going, and walking into the room naked and that kind of stuff. So I think we may have a little bit of a reversal here, but you know, he's got a right to be upset. I'm on his side in that one, so I don't know.
Meanwhile, Martha is attracting dudes like a lightning bug. We see her in the office with that file robot deal. Did you know that thing was a robot?
Actually, okay, so I don't know if we ever talked about what I do for a living. I'm a technical writer, and I had to do a contract at a major, major American company, huge worldwide company, last year. And they have one of those things. It goes through the office and it's a robot, and it stops where it's supposed to and delivers your packages and your mail and stuff. And then it just keeps going. It scares the living hell out of me. It gets on the elevator by itself and goes up to the floors, and it's bizarre.
It seems like something like that would be becoming obsolete, like really fast.
Exactly.
With no more paper. I mean, maybe a package or something, but thing that just delivers, shuffles paper between office cubicles seems kind of outdated.
Oh, it really looks outdated, and it's frightening as heck because there's nothing driving this thing. I mean, it's weird. It's weird.
Well, Martha and the agent Adderall come together at this robot, and Martha kind of drops her files and he helps her, and he starts flirting with her. Right. I think she liked it. Do you think she liked that flirtatious little encounter with Adderall?
Well, you know, I don't know, because the first part of it, I thought she was being really professional and businesslike, kind of like to, you know, make sure that he knows that she's not available kind of thing. But then at the end, I'm not so sure. It seemed like she really was. She kind of warmed up to him a little bit and was extra friendly. So I don't know. I think she's enjoying the attention. She should be. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
It was definitely real for the guy. I don't know if Martha was returning the realness of it, but she was. Didn't seem like she was fighting it off too hard.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think that she put too much effort into fending off his not really advances, but his friendly flirtations. And you know, I don't know. I think she's going to have her pick of the litter here.
Yeah, she's racking them up. You don't think she dropped those folders on purpose then?
Nah.
To get his attention. Cause that's a chick thing. That's what they do sometimes.
Well, yeah, if they're single and they're out looking for a guy, but Martha's not that type. She's more serious than that.
Well, we also learned that they're checking out dentists now with a lot of false leads. People are calling left and right from everywhere about 90-year-old people going to dentists, and everybody who ever goes to a dentist, I guess, calls it in now.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was kind of cool, and I liked and disliked what Stan said when he said, what did he say, people like to help?
Yeah, too much, giving them too much data to go through.
Yeah.
So let's go to the Paswell's house. There's a real estate kind of scene there. I guess they're selling their house because they're getting divorced, these Paswell people.
Right.
And Philip and Elizabeth are there under disguise, looking like a young kind of groovy hippie couple.
Yeah.
Philip goes upstairs to bug the room, the study upstairs, the office upstairs, and finds a cell phone, big old old school cell phone, and bugs that too. And while he's in there, Mr. Paswell comes home early, and they kind of have a little interaction.
Right.
I guess Paswells are under focus because they need money and they're going through this divorce. So. What did you make the connection as to why the CIA and Afghan group was why was Paswell important to Philip and Elizabeth?
I think that they want to try to turn him, and they figure if he needs money, maybe they can threaten him and sweeten the pot with a little cash and get him to work for them.
So of all the CIA people, they were looking for the weak spot, and he was the one most vulnerable because of this stuff.
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, later on we're going to find out one way that he's really vulnerable, but I guess we can save that till later.
Okay.
But Paswell says to Philip, don't ever get a home office. It'll ruin your life. Jamie, I have a home office. There's good and bad to it. It really is. It's like good that you're not in the middle of a bunch of office politics and stupid time-wasting meetings and bosses that are just bullshit. But sometimes it's really bad because you can work all day and not even see somebody else from the outside world.
Yeah.
And you find reasons to go and like, I better go get some dog food or I better go do this just to get out of the house. So there's good and bad to it.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir. I have a home office, too, and I suffer from the same terrible, terrible just situation. And I only do that sometimes, like work from home and do, you know, remote work. And I have to tell you, it can really wear on you. It really can.
Well, Philip and Elizabeth compare notes outside after this little open house, which I guess is the name game. Did you connect any other open house name meanings to this episode?
I did. And actually, the baggage thing, you know, we didn't – last week's episode was baggage, and it was just filled with people's emotional baggage. And I forgot the whole – like, I didn't make the connection until after we finished recording. But I did want to mention that in case anybody else was thinking the same thing. That whole episode last week was about baggage.
Yeah, about emotional baggage.
Right. But this one, open house, yeah, I feel like it was really very much about that because, you know, when it comes to like Stan and Martha, Martha wants to open their house up to potential, you know, new addition, somebody, you know, like welcoming, you know, a child in. Open house, their house, the Jennings house, you know, Philip had to stay up and wait for Elizabeth to welcome her home, you know, kind of keep the home lights burning and, you know, keep the house open for her, waiting for her to get back from, you know, the danger that she was in. And so I think there was quite a bit of that.
How about the Jennings house being open to Gabriel too, with him snooping in there and observing all this crap?
Oh, that's a good one. That's actually a really, really good, legitimate way to see that. And it shouldn't be open to him, in my opinion.
Well, after the open house of the real estate version, Paswell has his cell phone that's now bugged. And Elizabeth and Philip hear that he's all out of love. And Elizabeth makes the comment, if he starts singing it, he's really had it.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that part. It was pretty funny.
And they follow the car on this phone signal, and this gets them caught up in this – I guess there's a networking sweep that the CIA can tell. If you follow somebody, they can tell that you're following them because they have a system of kind of a sweep system where they know that they're being followed. And they kind of get caught up in this little trap.
Is that what that was?
I think so. I don't know if it's a trap set for them. I think it's just something that the CIA always does so that they can tell if people are tracking them or following them.
Okay.
I don't think it was like a scam to catch Philip and Elizabeth. I think it was just something they always do, and they kind of got swept up into it.
Okay. All right.
If anyone knows any better or has any better spy knowledge, write to us and let us know.
So I couldn't figure out why that happened. And so I'm glad that you had that little input about it. It makes sense.
So next we see Arkady and Oleg, and Arkady's talking about maybe Oleg should go back to Moscow. I think he's just trying to help him get closer to Nina.
Well, no, his father wrote and said something about, you know, that it was time for Oleg to come back. And Oleg's comment was, well, you know how my father is, and he's close to who's the incoming president? Andropov?
Yeah, you're Andropov.
Okay, yeah. So, apparently his father is fine friends with Andropov. And so it seems like maybe, there was some sort of a career move in there for Oleg. And that his father would have preferred for him to go back home. And I have to say, I was impressed with Oleg's response.
Yeah, and Arkady too. But I thought this was all based on Oleg trying to help Nina and wanting to get back to Nina.
And it could be. It could be. That's entirely possible. I thought of it myself, but I don't know. I mean, afterward, when he made the decision that he made, I didn't know what to think.
Yeah, so Arkady kind of says the pathway is open for you to go back to Moscow, but I don't force people to go. My agents choose where they want to be. So he kind of leaves it up to Oleg. And we're going to find out, Jamie, that Nina's a babe, but she can't sway these spies off their career track. She couldn't get Stan to change his career path, and she's not going to get Oleg. If my interpretation of it with Oleg and Nina was accurate, Oleg's going to stay. He decides that he's going to stay. Now we see Paswell and this babysitter. I guess we don't see him. We hear them. This babysitter, who we're not sure who she is yet, but she's flirting on the cell phone bug that the Jennings can hear, right?
Right.
She's
yeah.
trying to offer him advice, personal life advice. Get back up. Get back on that horse. You got to love multiple people.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I couldn't quite figure out what she was saying. I couldn't pick it apart. And I saw the reaction that Elizabeth and Philip had. And, you know, so I knew it was something kind of scandalous, but I just didn't know what it was. So she was being extra flirtatious.
Yeah, it's interesting that the channel that I have, which is DirecTV, I can I just turned on closed caption, and then they ran two captions because they did both talk at the same time. Elizabeth and Philip were talking while the people bugged were talking,
uh-huh.
And it was really hard to hear it. But that's what it had in the closed caption, is she was saying, "You got to get back on that horse." So I mean, here is this 15 or 16 year old girl talking to this dude about, you know, she's flirting with him, she's trying to get him to give her his attention.
Wow.
But it's pretty graphic.
Wow.
And so we see Elizabeth and Philip are getting followed by the CIA net that they've kind of stumbled into. And Philip leaves the car. He does a nice little tuck and roll on a turn and gets out of the car and kind of leaves it up to Elizabeth to get out of this net.
Right.
I guess they have no choice because she's driving. They couldn't switch drivers or anything. But
right.
And then the one thing I noticed, Jamie, there were no Allegiance commercials during this break.
Yay!
I heard that show got really ripped too by the reviewers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See what you get. Don't mess with our show.
So they come right back from the commercial, and Elizabeth, we find out, has 11 pursuers in this net now following her.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that many. I thought they said something like 6 or something.
Yeah, Stan and the other guy, Adderalt, or Stan and Gad, I can't remember, but they're talking about how they keep switching off. You know, they switch every other block or something, so it's hard to tell you're being pursued.
Wow.
Maybe it was 6 cars with different people in them, but they said 11 pursuers.
Okay.
Paige is doing the laundry back at the Jennings house, and she sees that Henry has a bikini pic of Sandra in his room.
Yeah, gross.
And Henry is, 25 now?
He looks like he's about 25. I thought my moment in the sun with Henry is gone. He's not a kid anymore.
Yeah, he looks like he's about 6 feet tall, and he's a little bit more sullen and a little less chipper and boyish. He just looks like he's a teenager almost.
Yeah, it's kind of sad. I think that that maybe Henry's adorable stories have come to a close. I'm hoping not, but I think we're done.
So Philip calls this phone center operator, and so I guess this phone center's still going, even though it got kind of blown up at one point, right? A couple seasons ago, didn't they catch on to the phone center?
You know what? I don't remember.
Got caught or something. But they still have this little phone operation where the Russian agents can call in and she can take a coded message and redirect it to other people. And
you know, I thought that was somebody's house.
Could have been.
Because she was doing aerobics in the other room when the phone rang, and she ran over to get the phone. So I think maybe if their phone center got closed down or got shut down, then they've just migrated the operation to a residential setup.
Yeah, I think the other one was a residential setup too. I just think they got caught, and they just think it got busted.
Okay.
I'm sure they just recreated it somewhere else.
Okay.
So Elizabeth's driving along with this phalanx of pursuers, and I guess it's both CIA and FBI. It's like everybody.
Right.
And we find this countdown starting at like one point. She has like a minute, and it counts down to like 10 seconds. Elizabeth has somebody helping her from, I guess the results of this phone center are they contact another agent that's out on the in the field. That guy. Did you recognize that guy in the car, the other guy by himself?
I didn't recognize him, but I have to say I was really glad to see him, and which is terrible because I'm rooting for my protagonists who are not our they're our enemy in real life. But I was hoping that Elizabeth would get out of this situation, and so I thought it was really cool the guy tossed the phone into her car, or
yeah.
the walkie or whatever that was. And then that guy did what did he do, like a signal disruption or something?
Yeah, he had something like a static creator that fucked up the phone calls or the walkie-talkie calls between the agents, the American agents.
Right.
And
right,
that got at the last minute. That kind of got Elizabeth off the hook. And then they did something with the traffic light. Somebody blew through the traffic light and caused an accident that. It looked like he was connected to that, but then his car looked fine.
Yeah, I don't know what he did, but he had something to do with that as well. But yeah, I mean, like she was, you know, and it just it brought to mind how not having, you know, mobile phone technology, like modern technology like we have now, made it so much more difficult to do what they have to do in some ways because, you know, she didn't know how she was going to get out of this situation. And I guess it could have really been any number of different interruptions that would have allowed her to escape. And she just had to be maybe kind of hyper aware, you know, looking out for an opportunity to escape. And then when she realized when, you know, the car crash happened, you know, she jumped out and was gone in 2 seconds flat and, you know, found that waiting car at the other end of the alleyway. But it's just, it seems to me a tremendous amount of training and skill must have to go into a situation like that that could or could not occur.
Yeah, that waiting car was that guy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
So maybe he had some, maybe that scrambler thing was something that changed the light, the traffic light, and it also put static onto their radios and stuff.
Yeah, maybe so.
I don't know, but I thought he might have caused the accident, but then he's driving away with Elizabeth and his car looked fine. So somehow they messed up that intersection so that the CIA and FBI agents had trouble and crashed into people.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
She gets away and you're right. Her only avenue of escape is that she's lucky enough to find an alley and run dark alley and run through it and get in this guy's car.
Yeah.
Pretty. She's really at the fringe of getting caught here. That's why I think one of the spoilers that I had from last week is it looks like Elizabeth gets caught,
right?
And that was from these scenes. So,
yeah. And then the whole thing with Paige, with the "I wish you guys would stop worrying about me" kind of thing, was just nothing. It was, you know, we're thinking it's they really did an artful way of making it seem as though, you know, she had been told the whole story, and you know, and she takes it so well and says "Don't worry about me," but it's really about nothing at all.
Yeah, you're right, and that's this next scene. She's at home, she's up late. Philip comes home, she's up. And then she just says, "Stop worrying about me," like in general, not because I can be a spy. Don't worry about me.
Right.
Had really nothing.
Yeah. And which kind of, you know, here we are at episode 3 and we still have no revelation of any sort, you know, for Paige. And I'm starting to wonder if anything is going to happen.
Really? I think something's going to happen.
I don't know. You're a wise man. I shouldn't bet against you, but I don't know. I mean, if something happens, it's not going to be in any way that I imagined from before this season started. You know, I initially thought, well, I mean, I did think that Philip and Elizabeth would continue to be on opposite sides about this, and that has continued to be the case. But I don't know what happens from here. I really can't imagine what they're going to do, how they're going to tell her. I don't know. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I have some more false spoilers at the end of this episode, so I'll tell you what I think in the spoiler section.
Okay.
So later on, with Philip home now, later on, Elizabeth makes it home, okay, and she's pretty shaken. And did you notice, Jamie, that the TV station's signing off for the night?
Yes.
That was a thing back in the 80s, I guess. It probably ended about that time where TV stations used to only run till like midnight, and then they'd sign off for the night and come back on at 5 or 6 in the morning.
Right. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah, I remember that. That was really – it was an interesting thing, and it's a no more thing.
Yeah. So Elizabeth and – Philip kind of hug, and they're affectionate, and this looks good, like they're kind of reconciling. But then the tooth pain comes during a kiss, and it's whiskey and pliers, baby. That tooth has to come out.
Yeah, that's right.
Now I watch this, or I listen to this podcast by Alan Sepinwall and Dan Feinberg on HitFix. HitFix is a really good TV review website, and they do a podcast. And Sepinwall interviewed Carrie Russell. And she called this tooth pulling scene so much fun. It's
really?
It's cool. It's fun. It was my sex scene for the show. It was strangely intimate. And there's a really good write-up on it in HitFix. I'll put a note in the show notes so people can go read it.
Okay. Yeah, I saw part of that. I'm surprised that she thought of it as being strangely intimate. It seemed sexual to me. It really did. But it's just such an uncomfortable thing to watch. I don't know. It was bizarre.
Well, they did it. Looks like that's going to end Elizabeth's pain. I hope it doesn't get infected or something worse.
Yeah, I hope not. I mean, she's just been through enough. Hopefully that's the end of it.
Oh, yeah, she'll be fine. It's all unicorns and roses from here on out.
But I tell you what, Mike. I'll tell you something. I really, like, when things like that happen, when she gets a crap beaten out of her, or, you know, she comes home scared, or, you know, she almost gets caught, or, you know, whatever. Those are the moments that I think, gosh, this stuff must take, like, a cumulative toll, don't you think? I mean, don't you think she's going to die, like, 5 years earlier because of all the crap she's been through? I mean, pulling out your tooth, that's a big deal because this is before they had, like, titanium studs and they put a new fake tooth in your head and you didn't have to, you know, worry about, like, being toothless and having your teeth start to migrate, move around and stuff because there's no placeholder in that spot anymore. It's so awful. I would find it psychologically taxing to have to go through this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, physically for sure, but psychologically absolutely for sure. Just the risk of being caught in prison for the rest of your life. She's taken away to prison. They're probably going to catch Philip, or if they don't catch him, he's going to have to run, and that leaves Paige and Henry. I mean, all that's got to weigh down on her every day.
Yeah.
She's almost gotten caught a few times too, so it's not like it's once a year or once in a while. It's like a lot.
Yeah, I wonder if that's going to finally maybe change her mind. Do you think it's possible that Elizabeth might change her mind instead of Philip changing
his mind? Yeah, I think so. I think we talked about this one or two episodes ago that, yeah, that would be interesting if Philip was the one who had to keep toe the line and Elizabeth was the one who said, okay, this is enough, let's just defect and let's become Americans.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know if she would go that far, but I don't know. It just seems to me like with everything that she's going through and everything that she goes through, I cannot imagine that she could possibly feel okay about this for Paige.
Well, Jamie, they are hard to get, and that's what Stan says in the next scene to Adderall. Adderall kind of admires Stan's case board. It's full of it's more than just one bulletin board. It's full of all these artist sketches and photos and little maps and stuff. And Stan says to him, they are hard to get. You know, they got away just in the nick of time, last night. And Adderall knows Stan had worked some case in – Adderall's a black guy. He knows Stan had worked some case in Arkansas with white supremacists. And I think he super appreciates him for that. He tries to buy him a beer, and I think he's you think he really admires Stan. Adderall does.
Yeah, I think he has a fair amount of friendship for him. It was a kind of an interesting thing though, because if you looked at the situation the way that it was, kind of Stan didn't really know how to take it when Adderall brought it up. It looked to me like Stan wasn't really sure if Adderall was going to be upset with him for being tucked in with those guys, or if he was going to be grateful that he actually brought some of them down.
Maybe Stan's kind of a closeted racist too.
No way.
Maybe he did his job because he had to catch the white supremacists, but maybe he's not that friendly towards Adderall.
I see.
Stan can do no wrong in your eyes, I know.
No, he does wrong. I just forgive him.
Well, Stan's got to go watch Zenaida now. She's doing press releases or press appearances all day.
So did you notice that he couldn't say her name? I loved it so much because I was like, here we are dying, just trying to figure out how to say these people's names. And Stan stumbles over it and is just like, I got to go get the defector.
Well, should we tell people about our Stan Melisandre Sandra theory?
Yeah.
I think Stan is kind of like Stannis. He's like a straight-laced kind of thug, kind of goonish, like not much of a personality. Kind of like Stannis in Game of Thrones.
Right.
And, of course, Sandra is exactly like Melisandre. You know, she's conjuring up gods of fire in the evenings. I think if you read about Est in the Wikipedia article, you'll see that that's one of their tenets. They believe in gods of fire.
You know what? I have to tell you, I don't know how to take any of this conversation because I was all identifying with Sandra last time we talked about her. So I have a feeling I need to tread carefully with you, Mike.
Do you sprinkle body parts from royal families onto platters of fire?
No.
I just the names were funny. Stan, Mel, Sandra, I thought was funny.
Yeah, I liked that too. But I have to say, if I'm anybody on Game of Thrones, I'm Khaleesi. I got to be Khaleesi.
Yeah, and Khaleesi, I was listening to the interviews or something on YouTube, and I mentioned to you like they sound like they could be in a Brooklyn bar. And who was it? It was Littlefinger. It was the least likely people you would think it is. Oh, Tyrion, Littlefinger, and one of the women. Was it Khaleesi? No, she's British.
Yeah, she is British.
Who was it? Oh, it was funny because it was like three of the most exotic type of people. And they sounded like they were on the streets of New York, you know, just like regular old Americans.
Wow.
This loses a lot of impact if I can't remember the third person.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe Drogo. Yeah, I think it was Drogo, sounding like a guy from the streets of Brooklyn.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Yeah, so Stan wants to... Adderall wants to know from Stan how he fooled these white supremacists, right?
Yeah.
Tell them what they want. And Stan says, I did it by telling them what they wanted to hear.
Right.
So what do you think that meant? Why did they put that in here? What's the Chekhov's results of this?
I don't know, but there's something to it because he says something like, people love to hear how right they are. Yeah.
That's a great strategy. Tell people what they want to hear. They have everybody almost has a weakness for that, right?
Well, I know. I love to hear how right I am. So there's no problem understanding that one.
This next scene's pretty interesting. It's Philip at Martha's house. I guess Clark. He's Clark now with Martha. They're talking about adoption. He's absolutely against adoption.
Okay, what the heck was he writing?
I'll tell you what he's writing, and I want to ask you about it. He's writing his notes like a spy, like out in the open, totally not worried about her walking up and reading what he's writing.
That's what I thought he was doing. What in the heck?
Well, can't Philip/Clark work on his secret Russian stuff right in front of her because he's supposed to be a spy, right?
I guess. I don't know. I cannot tell you. I guess. I don't know. it just seems to me like he doesn't care right now. I think Philip has had a little mini breakdown. I think Philip actually needs to take a little week-long vacation at the farm and get on some medication and relax and come home maybe, you know, like 10 days from now.
Well, he's under, if Elizabeth's under stress, he's got to be married to this Martha, like, on the side, and give her attention like a husband would have to give his wife attention, and act like he's really interested and interested in being romantic with her and fight off this adoption thing. And that is stress, man.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, like, okay, if we're really going to be serious about this, if we're going to say, have a, like, a serious conversation about the character Philip, Philip is long overdue for either an alcohol problem or a violence problem or a mental breakdown, or maybe he needs to go to church and find Jesus. Something's got to happen here, because that dude is about, he's a good bit down the road past where he should have had a breaking point. I mean, he's sexually, he's got to be exhausted, right? Because he's servicing all these women that he's dealing with. And, you know, he just did something that was just one of the worst things I think probably a human being could ever do. You know, with disposing of Annalise. Then, and first of all, making the decision to allow her to be killed. And then disposing of her the way that he disposed of her. And in the meantime, he's going through this. I can't imagine that he's not questioning every decision that he made that led him to the point where he is right now. And, you know, and on top of all of that, the one thing that he had to comfort him was the love between, you know, himself and his family. And even that now is on very, very shaky ground, because, you know, he's not getting along with Elizabeth. He doesn't know what's going to happen with Paige. What's going to happen when Henry finds out? I mean, it's just, it's a horrible situation. And here he is, you know, he's got to go be Clark. And, you know, and when he gets done being Clark, he's got to go home and be Philip, which has got to suck right now. So, I don't know.
Well, just wait till the spoiler section. I got somebody else he's got to have to be.
Uh-oh.
But so the notes he is writing right under Martha's nose are stuff about Northrop, the aircraft manufacturer, and this guy Edward Schiappa, and how he's 17 years. He's been a machinist. He belongs to the Rotary Club. So he's connected into this Rotary Club, or to this Northrop engineer guy, Schiappa. And later on, we're going to hear about Northrop getting a contract and getting some new clearances, safety clearances for a number of people.
Right.
So Northrop's going to come into play here with some fighter or bomber plane that we're going to hear about.
Right, the bomber. Yeah. And that was a very specific, like, what's her name? That lady who I don't like. Tatiana, is that her
yeah.
name? Yeah, it was made sure that she corrected Arkady, you know, and was clear about Oleg, you know, saying bomber or whatever the situation was. So maybe that's going to have something significant to do with the storyline.
Yeah, she corrects him from, he calls it a fighter plane, and she says bomber.
Yeah.
So next we see Elizabeth and Hans practicing some more, their little spy practice about who's on this corner, who's in that doorway, what were they wearing. Mm-hmm. And it boils down to it. She tells Hans that she has an important person in her life. So she's shutting the door on Hans. I thought when I first saw Hans that, and this is pretty evil thought, but I thought Elizabeth maybe getting this young, attractive guy to maybe lure Paige closer into this whole mess.
Well, I wouldn't put it past her. And now it's kind of weird because, I have to say, probably not, because if she really wanted to manipulate this guy, she could have played up the older than you aspect of it and, you know, kind of pimped out Paige at the same time. So I would have to say she may not have had that in mind, you know, if I really wanted to be practical about it. But I under ordinary circumstances, I wouldn't put it past her.
Yeah, I was just thinking, I'm probably wrong too, I think this now, but I was thinking if Paige is going to start to fall for guys, they might as well have her fall for a guy who's kind of in the game that they want.
Yeah.
Not on the other side, on the other team.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So Gabriel and Philip are talking again, and we hear about Paswell's family a little bit. Paswell's mother is hiding money I guess while Philip was in that room, that office, he took a picture of a check, and they got his checking account, Paswell's checking account, and they had Gabriel check it out.
Right.
And they found out that Paswell's, during this divorce, he's having his mother hide money from the wife so she won't see it in the divorce settlement. And Philip offers the babysitter intel, right? I can't remember if they've seen it yet or not, but they hear Paswell talking to the babysitter, and they kind of know she's flirting with him. So that's another piece of evidence they can use to slam a wedge into his weakness and into his problems in his life.
Right, right.
And Gabriel tells him, because they want to go right back and back out on, and do some more surveillance. Gabriel tells Philip, surveillance, it's not always worth the risk.
Right. Yeah, he does. And Philip doesn't agree.
No, he storms out right after. He's just mad. He's just mad about Paige and everything.
Yeah, he's angry. I don't think he likes Gabriel very much right now, if at all, if ever. And he's about had it. He's like I was saying earlier, and like you intimated earlier, he's kind of way past his breaking point. I mean, that's chicken scratch on that piece of paper that he's working out, that Russian stuff. That didn't look very sane writing anyway.
It's hard to read. The only reason I know what it said is because it was right next to an application. I can read the application, and it was, you read the writing, and it looked like he was copying what was in the application.
Ah, okay.
The typed, you could read the typed. You couldn't read his chicken scratch.
Right.
Okay, so Brezhnev is out, Andropov is in. Literally, Jamie, they're changing the paintings back in the Residencia.
That's exactly right.
Arkady talks about the new American bomber, and Northrop is involved in that. They have nine new security clearances.
Yep.
And Oleg and Arkady compare notes, and he says he's staying.
Yep.
His father's been telling him to grow up. That's why I think it was Nina, because his father's kind of saying, you can fall for a girl or you can do your job. I'm imparting this. I don't know it. I didn't see it. But I think that's why Oleg grew up here.
Gosh, I don't know. I didn't take it that way. I took it the other, almost opposite way. I wasn't thinking about Nina at all in this scenario. I felt like that his dad, being the mover and shaker that his dad is, was saying, come home, come take a better position. I know the new president. We can get you in somewhere, and this is going to be your route. And Oleg just decided, I'm going to be my own man. He wants me to stand up and grow up. He's always telling me to grow up. Well, here's my grown-up decision. I'm staying.
Okay. Well, that's totally valid. That could actually be what it is. So Zenaida's talking to the media, and she's really ripping the Russians in the way of life. And Stan sees something on the TV. What does he see? I missed that.
I didn't see it either. I don't know what it was. I have to apologize because this episode was really hard for me to watch. I don't know. Sorry.
I have to research that because he notices something that Zen says on the interview, or he sees something.
And didn't he turn? He turned away from what she was saying. I remember that scene. Let's see.
I saw him step up and move closer to the TV monitor with a kind of an aha look on his face.
Yeah, now that you're saying that, I remember. And I don't remember exactly what happened. I'm so sorry.
Are you watching it, or are you typing to Noah Emmerich?
I'm sending him an instant message right quick just to try to see what he has to say about that. No, I'm actually looking for a recap.
You know what I think it might be, Jamie?
Mm.
Because somebody made a comment how when Adderall asked how Stan dealt with the white supremacy, said, I'd tell them what they wanted to hear. He thinks Zenaida's doing that with the press, telling them what they want to hear.
Oh, goodness gracious. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because I don't see anything about it anywhere else.
Because in that scene with Adderall, he's telling them they want to hear over and over. And then he has to run off to do Zenaida right on the heels of that. And then he's watching her, and then he hears her kind of say because it's the third interview today, and she says the same thing over and over. So it's like what she's saying, what exactly what people want to hear.
That is really an interesting thought, isn't it? Maybe she is not who they think she is.
Yep, maybe she's a double secret probation spy. She's like pretending to defect, but really.
You're so badass, double secret probation spy. I like that.
Just an old Animal House memory.
I like it.
All right, so Elizabeth and Phil are still listening in, on, even against Gabriel's "this is too dangerous to do." They're back out there listening in on that mobile phone that this guy Paswell has. This is where it really gets interesting, Jamie. They hear more babysitting flirting, and the babysitter's name is Kimberly, this guy Paswell's babysitter.
Okay.
And they find out that it's Isaac Brewell's daughter. Kimberly is the babysitter. So they take pictures and see the car, and Philip's like, I know that license plate. And then they see him on the porch. Paswell's taking her back home after a babysitting gig, and it's the Brewell's daughter. How yeah. about that? So Elizabeth says, how about that? And it ends.
Yeah, that was really quite an ending, wasn't it?
Well, that's it for our recaps of the episode. There are some interesting spoilers, even though they do sometimes go down false roads, but I made about 10 different notes about the spoilers from next week's episode.
Okay.
So this is the West Coast Project Podcast for the Americans. My Twitter is @scathingtweets. And Jamie, what's your Twitter?
@WordGirly.
@WordGirly. And so write to us if you have any questions. And please tell your friends to listen to us and to put 1 to 5 stars on iTunes. That would be really great.
You know what, Mike? Let me interrupt you for just a second. I want to thank Christine, who sends me interesting questions through Twitter every week.
We should do next week a comment section. Or a question and answer section, maybe in between the spoilers and the episode. Sounds good. I just wanted to put that little gap in there for the spoilers because we're going to talk about them next. So if you don't want to hear any, we'll talk to you next week for episode 4. And if you do, stay tuned and we'll be right back with those. And next week's episode is Dimebag. So until then, if you're not going to listen to the spoilers, we'll talk to you later. All right. So for people still hanging around, Jamie, spoilers. I don't know if you want to hear them. You wanted to hang up last time, right, to not get spoiled.
No, I'll listen.
They're turning out to be not like earth-shattering spoilers because they're what's on next episode. They can't give too much of it away.
Right.
But they leave us with a lot of room to imply meanings, whether they're genuine or not. But here's what I got. So you ready?
Ready.
Kimberly the babysitter is talking with Philip in disguise now, and now she's flirting with his ass too.
Uh-oh.
So Philip is going to hook up with this Kimberly babysitter. And I think that's going to be his crisis of conscience because of Paige, right? This babysitter's got to be like right in Paige's age neighborhood, don't you think? 15, yeah. 14, 15, 16.
Yeah.
And Philip can make some pretty good intel or gather some good intel if he gets this girl flirting with him.
Oh, that's so gross.
And she is flirting with him in these scenes. So that was number one. Number two, somebody says this to Elizabeth. I'm not sure who it may have been, Philip. But he says, or that person says, we've never used someone this young before. So that goes back into my first observation.
Right.
Somebody else's daughter is going to be subject to what they're trying to protect Paige from.
Right.
The third one is Zenaida worried about getting killed. I guess that's obvious, but she states that.
Well, at least now she cares. She's not thinking about Candy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, doesn't mean she's still not thinking about those Milky Ways, but the next one is somebody is saying Elizabeth is a hard target. I don't know if Zenaida is saying that or if she's saying that about Zenaida.
Whoa.
Like Stan kind of said, they're hard to catch. Yeah, I don't know. I didn't make very good notes on that, too. I didn't explain it very clearly either, so I might have to go back and look at it. The fifth one is Stan's worried. He's talking with Gad about, you think she's going to kill the president? So Zenaida maybe or somebody? There's a she that the FBI people are worried is going to kill the president.
Interesting.
Number six, Elizabeth's aiming a gun and shooting. Not terribly fascinating, but she's back in the field fighting or shooting somebody. And then number seven is Philip talking to Kimberly. Number eight is Nina with Evie, the girl from Belgium in the Russian prison. And she says, one of them says, "I know what you like to do," and they're kind of spooning and hugging each other on the floor in the prison.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, they may have just gotten beat up and they fell down that way, and it doesn't look like it's necessarily has to be a romantic thing, but
okay.
"I know what you like to do," and they're spooning, so. Gad says to Stan, "If there's something here, we need to know it." And then Stan pokes his head up through the bathroom ceiling tile, the ceiling of the bathroom. It looks like the office bathroom.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. And then the last one, Elizabeth says to somebody, "She set us up." So again, there's a female person who the FBI / CIA is worried is going to kill the president, and Elizabeth saying she set us up. And we will probably see this because the pathway is leading to Philip working this little babysitter, Kim.
Well, looks like maybe next week is going to make up for this week's episode in my book.
I hope so. Sometimes these pan out to be nothing.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think it should be interesting regardless because we obviously have some surprises in store because we've got to find out who the she's are. And, you know, maybe they're interesting.
All right, Jamie. So that's all I got. So until Dimebag, unless you have anything else, that's it.
All right. Sounds good to me.
All right. We'll see you next time on The Americans.
All right. Bye, Mike.
Bye.